Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
There we are. Beautiful. Good morning, everybody. Are you all alive? Beautiful morning, beautiful day. Grateful for the rain? So good when the rains come and the sinuses leave. Everybody here has sinus, said? Amen, amen. Dis-Chem makes, I think we should all buy shares in Dis-Chem. Would you stand with me this morning as we receive the word this morning? Anybody got some faith in the house? Yes. Father, these moments that we have together are so precious as we have seen the theme of create being threaded through the life of the church over these last few weeks. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would work personally, powerfully, individually in every single one of our lives, that today we would rise and be counted as the church, not a destination, not a building, but the people of God who are about the things of God. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you lift our eyes? Would you further our gaze? Would you build strength and courage and faith into our hearts? May every single one of us be gripped with a passion, God, for your kingdom, for your plans, for your purposes. Help us to remove the kingdom of me and to advance the kingdom of God. Would you inspire us through your word today? Would you speak to us through your word today? May you change, would you change the architecture of our thoughts and of our hearts? Take our hearts and massage them this morning that they would be alive, that they would be full of life, full of passion, full of purpose. That this word wouldn't be a word heard, but it would be a word received, that it would be acted upon, and that you would use us, Lord, the great privilege of us, each one of us being used to create the future. May every single one of us contribute to that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a seat and turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, church, on the 23rd of June, the early morning, 3 a.m. of the 23rd of June this year, our Thrive Edenvale campus got burgled. The suckers, they came in, they came prepared with trolleys, they waited for the armed response to respond, turned off all the lights, hid in the building, waited for the armed response to go, and then loaded up all of our tech gear and took it out of the building, such that the team that arrived early in the morning could see the actual trolley marks in the carpets. That's how heavily laden it was. But a strange thing, in fact, not strange, perhaps I should say a predictable thing happened. That as the first team members arrived on the campus that Sunday, as they saw what had happened, everybody realized this is going to be old school church this morning. Lyrics were printed, guitars were phoned for, worship team members brought acoustic guitars. The church was told, hey, we've been cleaned out. And all of a sudden, the church began to worship like never before. And the worship, the zeal, the strength of it, the passion, the fervor, the atmosphere of Edenvale. Pastor Ken and I weren't there. We woke up, we were in the United States at the time. We woke up a long time after the service and the people that reported to us told us the bad news is we've been robbed. The great news is we've just had the most wonderful time of worship. And something happened to the community that day. The worship may have come out of their mouths, but it actually came from a very deep place in their hearts. And in that moment, Edenvale became the church, the building. It became way more than a place. It became a space. Became a space of worship and passion and fervor and consecration and devotion and indignation. Something happens when the people of God call out to their God with a passion for the house of God and the things of God. And friends, that's what turns an ordinary place into a space. Title of the message today is turning and creating spaces that are more than just places. You know, right now we're in a place. The physical address of this place is the corner of Fundestel and Tutor Street in Parkdean, in Boksburg. But how many of you guys would agree with me that this morning, as things began to happen, as the place began to fill up, as God's people came into this place, it became way more than a place. It turned into a space. It turned into a cathedral of praise to God. What turns a place into a space? What happens and what turns it into that is when the people of God are passionate about the things of God. Is there anybody in the house this morning that's passionate about the house of God? Passionate about the things of God? You're in this, but today we're talking about money. The only Christ followers that pull into this service are the people that are passionate about the things of God. There are no consumers in this service, they're contributors. Can I get some amens? So on Monday, this place just reverts back to 25 Tutor Street, Parkdean, Boksburg. But on Sunday, it becomes a space. Talking about places that turned into spaces, there's this incredibly beautiful account in Scripture. Come with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. It's an account about Elisha and a woman from Shunem. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. And a wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I'm sure that this man, who stops in from time to time, I'm sure that he's a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof." Everybody say room. "And furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then you'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by." Well, here's reality coming now. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." And when she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern that you've shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" It was bugging him. He wanted to do something for her. "What can we do for her?" And Gehazi replied, "Well, she doesn't have a son and her husband is an old man." In other words, there's no chance of that happening now. "Well, call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her, she stood in the doorway, "Next year, this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried. "Man of God, don't deceive me. Don't get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. How many of you would agree, church, that the room that she built was just a place, but because of her intent, because of her care, because of her hospitality, because of her intentional decision, she created much more than a place. She created a space. A space for honor, a space for hospitality, a space where the people of God and the things of God are honored and looked after. So how do we as human beings, 21st century, people from Edenvale and from Boksburg, seated in this space right now, how do we create places that become more than places, they become spaces? How do we do that? First thing I want to suggest to you is that we do it with intentionality. Notice that she urged him to stay for a meal, and then the one meal turned into two meals. The one oxtail turned into two oxtails, and then there was a bit of sushi added. And you know, so it went from one meal to two meals. Are you with me? And then after multiple meals, then it was a room, and then it was a furnished room. Are you seeing the intent behind her? Intentional people, church, listen to me. Intentional people always instigate and initiate. They are never backfoot people. They never wait for the chips to fall people. People who create spaces are people that initiate. Initiative actually is the engine in the vehicle of intention. So you can have all the good in, I have every intention of giving up salt and vinegar chips. But how many of you know that unless we stop buying them, it's never going to happen? You may have every intention of being a generous person. Unless you begin to sacrifice, unless you begin to actually decide to start to give, it's never going to happen. Without initiative, intentionality remains simply intention. So initiative, intention, are you with me? Intentionality. How do we create places that become spaces? Help me out. How do we create places that become spaces? First thing, intentionality. Secondly, with a mentality, with our brains, with our thoughts, with our minds, right? Notice, it was one meal, two meals, a room, a furnished room. That speaks to a mentality of increase. She had not only a spirit of hospitality, she had not only something on her life that she wanted to honor the things of God, so she had the intent to honor God, but she had more than just intent, she had mentality to say, I'm going to actually increase what I'm doing. Pastor Ken and I, every year since we've done Division Offering, every year we've always trusted God to have a mentality of increase. Not only to trust God for more for the church, but to give more ourselves as well. How many of you know that creating spaces that honor the kingdom of God requires you and me, men and women, to have a mentality that says, let's not settle, let's not camp, let's not settle in 1985 or 1995 or 2005, but let's settle somewhere in the future. That requires a mentality of increase. And you've either got it or you haven't. In my previous life in financial services, I spent my life telling people, pension funds, you know, how they should invest their money. And the hardest thing to get across to people was to say, if you stick your money in the bank on a fixed deposit, you're not going forwards, you're going backwards. Because unless your money beats the rate of inflation, you're going backwards. How many of you know that churches that settle and stick and stay and get comfortable and get happy and get, they grow fat Christians, complacent Christians, and they never take ground for the kingdom of God? Can I get some amens from somebody today? Sweet Jesus, help me. How do we create a space that's more than a place? Third thing, spirituality. Verse 9. I want you to notice this. It's so beautiful. She's creating this, the meals and then the room. And she goes, I'm sure there's something about Elisha that's not quite normal. I'm sure this man, verse 7, is a man of God. In the natural, her eyes could have just seen a weary traveler. But in the spiritual, she saw a man of God about the things of God and the kingdom of God. Church, it's so important for every single one of us on the balcony, on the ground level, every single one of us, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a daughter, a son. So important that you and I become the church that sees with spiritual eyes, that can discern what God is up to, that we can see that buildings are more than places, they are spaces. It's vital for us to be able to notice the things of God and the work of God. This guy called Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, we'll call him Ant for short. It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Spiritual things are heart things. Generosity is a heart thing. Giving's a heart thing. Listen, if you're looking for your budget to balance, if you decide your vision offering pledge is a rational, logical, mental exercise, you're never going to give to the level that God's asking you to give to. I was hoping for three amens. If you're looking to create a logic about it, if you're looking to balance the books, there's no faith involved. How do we create a space that's more than a place? We do it with generosity. I want you again to notice the progression. One meal, many meals, a room, a furnished room, extended periods of hospitality. couple of thoughts on generosity that I think you and I, if we can grab a hold of today, it'll build your life, it'll build your heart, it'll strengthen your heart, it'll build faith into your life, it'll build a different dimension into your world. Firstly, real generosity is undergirded by a spirit of hospitality and honor. I want you to notice that honor, hospitality, and generosity are all linked. They are like the Holy Trinity of giving. Honor, hospitality, generosity. They are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of giving. Why? Because honor and hospitality is the intent. It's the heart. It's the thinking. It's the heart posture behind it. If you and I give without honor, without hospitality, if you and I give in the absence of our hearts being always marked by sacrifice. It's always marked by sacrifice. I've been watching Yellowstone. Has anybody been watching Yellowstone on Netflix? This thing's getting so stressful for me. I said to Pastor Ken, I tried to watch an episode the other day and it's too stressful, so I had to turn it off and try and go back to it. It's so brilliantly done, but there's always drama. It's about a guy called John Dutton who owns a ranch out in Wyoming called the Yellowstone. And it's all about his life and his family and how messed up and weird and wonderful these people are. But what he does is he takes farmhands on board with him, guys that come to work on the ranch. And what he does is he goes and he looks at the prison. As they release prisoners nearby, he looks for some ex-cons that he thinks are going to be great, great farmhands. And he says to them, hey, I'll offer you a future. He says, there's just one thing, you've got to get branded. So when the guys say, hey, I'll come work for you, he goes, well, it's a point of no return. If you come to work for me, what happens is you open up your chest, you bare your chest, and they take a red hot iron and they brand a nice Y for Yellowstone onto their chest. It's obviously agony. But, here's my point. Short-term pain is followed by this long-term pride and, hey, I've been branded. I've sacrificed something and now I belong to a particular group of people that not too many people want to belong to. And I thought about how generous-hearted people, Christ followers, that sacrifice big time financially. It's almost like we get branded. It goes, oof, in the moment. But we bear the scars of sacrifice. And one day when we get to heaven, we open our shirts and Jesus sees the marks of sacrifice on our lives. Short-term pain for a beautiful scar that we carry. That's what kingdom builders look like. They look a little bit marked like that. Real generosity lastly is strengthened through partnership. Have a notice here. This lady, she could have said, hey, let's do this thing for this guy, and just gone off and done it. But what she decides to do is speak to her husband and get the husband in on the act. And together as a couple, they begin to do this thing. It's a beautiful picture, I think, of how God always intends, particularly and primarily, the marriage covenant to be a space of mutuality across every area of our lives and a partnership in every area of our lives, including our generosity. That there's actually something powerful about a husband and wife coming together and saying, hey, what are we going to sow? What are we going to invest? And not only as individuals, but as a couple, as a gift of our legacy into the world. Are you with me? It's beautiful. Years and years ago, when Pastor Kant finished school, she was heading off to college. And the college happened to be situated in Randburg. And at that point in time, there was like, God, we need, the family, Pastor Stephen, Pastor Kathy, Pastor Kant, the whole team, like, we need a car to get there. Like, there's no spare car. If you don't provide a car, I'm not going to college. It's Randburg. It's not down the road to Brakpan where you can get on a scooter. It's Randburg. Are you with me? Hello, Brakpan, by the way. Good morning. I forgot to say hello to you. 2 days, I think it was Hurricanes, 2 days or 3 days before that deadline arrived, some kind people, some generous people, got hold of Pastor Steve and said, "Hey, we've got a car and God laid your family on our heart, and we'd like to give you this car." Now, it wasn't a sexy car. It was a brown 1982 Toyota Corolla box shape. Anybody remember those things? And because it was a grace gift, that car got a name, Gracie. But that did something in Pastor Can's heart. It formed something in her heart, and she began to imagine that as a couple, because that was done for her, she got this imagination of maybe we could do that for others. You know? And so she brought that into our marriage. And I was like, "What are you talking? Giving cars away? Are you mull?" She brought it into our marriage. So this year, we've been so blessed. Over the years, this year, this November, we've been able to give away our third car. And we're so grateful for that. It was an imagination that was brought into the partnership of our marriage. Are you with me? Generosity is a partnership issue. She partnered with her husband. We partner together as husbands and wives, families, but we also partner with God. I love this. I read this week. It said, we never do things for God. We always do things with God. Are you with me? Your vision offering today, you're not doing nothing for God. You're doing everything with God. I know that wasn't great grammar, but it's okay. I want you to notice, if you're a wealthy person here today, so I want you to notice that this lady was a wealthy lady. Not only is it a partnership for husband and wife, not only is it a partnership, you and I as Christ followers to the church and with God, but there's also a partnership of wealthy people to the cause of God, to the kingdom of God, to the gospel. This wealthy woman used her money to move the kingdom of God forward. Can you say amen? Amen. What happens to us as people, when we do these kinds of things, and we build spaces out of places, what happens to us? What happens to us? Well, firstly, the name of God is glorified. The kingdom of God is brought to earth. The purposes of God are pursued and fulfilled. But something also happens to us as people ourselves. Check it out, verse 17. She has a baby. Verse 17. The woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Remember, her husband was an old toppy. They said to her, "You're never going to have kids." Something miraculous happened for this lady. It'll be on the screen. I hope this is a source of encouragement to you today. When you and I give with intentionality, with spirituality, with a mentality, and with generosity, what happens? There's a partiality that comes to our lives. That just means both a reward and a grace. Listen, if any church ever says to you, give and God's going to multiply it back to you financially, run a mile. Nobody can promise you that because you give, God's going to bless you in return financially. He will bless you, but it's in His sovereignty as to how He will bless you. Are you with me? God's not a vending machine. That's not the lotto. You don't buy a ticket and hope. Are you with me? So there's a partiality in us, a reward and a grace. And God knows what that reward will be, and God knows what that grace will be. Amen? Secondly, there's a favorability over our lives. We begin to experience favor. Thirdly, there's a gravity upon our lives. We carry weight for the kingdom, and there's a kingdom weight to your life. And there's a vitality to our lives. We live with energy and with purpose and with momentum. We live on the front foot. We live moving forward. We don't live static and stagnant and wondering whether God's in charge of our lives. People that surrender every aspect of their lives, including their money, they live safe, secure in the knowledge that God's got this. He's moving our forward. He's in charge. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And every aspect of our lives is surrendered to Him. It's the safest place you can ever be. The most dangerous place you and I could ever be is we're holding out an area of our lives from God. The safest place can be fully surrendered. Isn't it, just one thought on this, isn't it amazing that the whole nation of Israel benefited from one lady and her room? Why do I say that? Because she built a room that Elisha, who was a prophet to the nation, the entire kingdom benefited from her little room furnished with love. Imagine with me, church, the decades of impact that your sowing, your investing, your giving, and my sowing, investing, and giving, imagine with me the impact that it has over 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Somebody on our building tours at Edenvale yesterday said something so wonderful. They said, 4 months of inconvenience for 40 years of significance. Hey, how amazing is that? We're in this building that Pastor Steve and Pastor Kathy and the leadership team at that time had the faith to put up. People have been married in here. People have been buried in here. People have found their spouses in here, particularly on the welcome section of the deck. If you're looking, that is the place to go. People have had sacred conversations here. People have had their entire futures, trajectories changed. All because we are sitting in the building that previous generations created. So today, let's sow and invest in line with that, with intentionality and initiative. Yes? With intentionality and initiative. Not slop, not just, God, intentional. I'm being thoughtful, even right now, about what I'm giving. By the way, talking about partnership, I meant to say, it's weird how when you're in partnership and your spouse is always the one that gives the higher amount, and then you must recognize them as the Holy Spirit. Has that ever happened to you before? You go, how much? And they go, With a mentality of increase is what I'm saying. With spirituality. We give with spirituality. God, we're building a space, not a place, where the kingdom of God, the purposes of God are moved forward. And with generosity, marked by sacrifice, and strengthened through the partnership that you have with the church, with Jesus, with your husband, with your wife. So come, let's help create the church that we want our nation to look like. I was thinking about this so much. We should all dream all the time that the church of Jesus Christ should always be the expression of what our country could look like. It should be a microcosm of excellence and redemptive lift. That when people walk onto this campus, they're inspired, they're lifted, they're helped, they're strengthened. That's why I'm so passionate about no litter on the place, because I see a little, you know, yesterday we were at the building tour and Extreme Kids happens on Friday night at Extreme, and I walk on the grass and I go, whoa, there's about 50 million balloons that have been popped last night. Let's pick. I said to Kuli, please, Pastor Kuli, come here, pick up. Why? Because there should be no litter. Why? Because the rest of the place is littered. So we should be different. Can I get some amens? This past year, the vision offering between our two campuses was 2.62 million. Isn't that wonderful? I want to show you a little bit of what it was spent on this last year. I'll move a little bit to the side so that you can see the new screen in all of its glory. Amen. In Edenvale, every single cent, Edenvale people look me square in the eyes. Every single cent of the vision offering and preceding year's vision offerings has already been sunk into the building. There'll be some visuals of it so that you can kind of see where it's at the moment as we prepare to be in for the 15th of December. Everybody say 15 December. And everybody say, please, Jesus. Just to show you some of the beautiful. There is not a square inch of that campus that has not been touched. The only area that's not been touched is the kids' zone building. Every other square inch of the campus has been touched, including an extension to the auditorium, 170 square meters of upstairs ministry space, cafe and foyer, completely new facade, increased stage size, oh man, everything. New window frames, new doors, like the whole shebang. So that's Edenvale. Where's your money gone? All in there. It's all sunk in there already. It's in the concrete. Boksburg campus. Vision offering this last year. Firstly, this new screen. How many of you know this new screen is lovely? And it wasn't cheap. Much more than 1 million rands. Boksburg also, as we remember, we've been gearing for strengthening of other churches. Boksburg has also sown into Edenvale's building. Boksburg has also sown into, and Edenvale's tithe as well, has sown into Pastor Innocent and Milka Matepu's church, River of Life, Grahamstown. There's a picture of them as a couple. They'll get them up now, Pastor Innocent and Milka, and their church. Hello, peoples. Just the picture, not the text. Yeah. So that's River of Life Church in Grahamstown, part of our AAG group, doing incredible work there, working in a town of university students. They have these people for 3 years, and then they move. And then every year, you get a new batch, right? And there's a picture of Pastor Innocent and Milka, if you wouldn't mind. That's them. And Pastor Innocent will be preaching with us in February 2025, so look out for that. So a tithe has gone to them and to their church. We've continued to gain strength and save for our new campus as well, our new Thrive campus. What I want to share with us now is looking forward where the money is going this year. Edenvale, can I say to you, no surprises, every cent, let me just say it, every cent of a vision offering this year is going where? To the? We only need another 2 million. The bad news, that's the bad news. We only need another 2 million. The good news is it's in our pockets right now. Have a look at the visuals of the Edenvale campus. So that's what it'll look like when it's done. Beautiful, isn't it? It's a bit of the inside cafe space and foyer space. And to see, so it's fresh, it's modern, it's going to be absolutely stunning. Every single cent of Edenvale's vision offering, apart from the tithe, is going to be going to the building. 4 months of inconvenience for 40 years of impact, 50 years of impact, 60 years of impact. Amen. Boksburg, what are we going to be spending the vision offering on this coming year? Firstly, we want to take the kids zone space, which is sort of on the other side of the building. We want to create a beautiful astro play area, a play zone, that it will be not only a football court or a football astro court, but it'll also be a bit of a basketball court. And we're busy at the moment thinking around the spaces that we can create and the size that we can create for that. That'll be not only for kids on a Sunday, but it'll be for our extreme and our youth teams and our elevate teams as well. So we can create space. What's the thinking behind that? The thinking behind that is that if young people can come to church, that it be a place not only of spiritual growth, but of social growth and physical growth and health. You see, the church is a... The church is a holistic place. You should be stronger in your finances, in your social life, and in your physical life because you come to this space. How many of you know that AstroTurf is super expensive? So we could put just sand over there, but that wouldn't be nice. So we're going to create an AstroTurf play area. Too much of cash required for that. Second area that the vision offering is going to be going to is towards building strength for our next campus. Third area for Boksburg is renewable energy. This year, we want to kick off a solar energy project so that we can have not only enough electricity to power us, but importantly, so that we can come off of the grid, particularly in the week, which will free up significant amounts of cash flow. If we can put a capital expenditure into solar, it means that during the week we can come off the grid, save hugely on expense, on electricity costs. That frees up money for ministry. So that's very much a strategic play to free up monthly cash flow to be able to expand ministry. Are you with me? We also want to be buying chairs. At this stage, we're aiming for about 165 new chairs for our Boksburg campus. You're seated in a chair. Your bum is currently sitting on a chair that somebody paid for. Aren't you glad that somebody paid for your chair? And people still come into the church and treat their chair like it's their chair. I'm like, yeah, you didn't pay for that chair. Why are you? But I always sit here. It's always my place. No, but you didn't. You didn't put it. And all the ushers said, thank you. And then a tithe of our offerings is going to be going to the Devoted Citizen and People Matter Foundations, led by Pastor Chris Matabula and Pindi Matabula and the Hope Restorations Ministry crew. They do incredible work sinking water wells in the most impoverished communities, building houses for the people who can't, because of government inefficiency, can't get onto RDP program lists. They just can't get it right. That's what they do. Okay, all good in the hood. Can I move back this way? We need 2.5 million for the Edenvale building. And we need 3 million for the Boksburg's initiatives. That's the bad news. Although, like Pastor Ken said yesterday, I don't know a guy, I know a God. Amen. The good news is the money's in the house. The money's in the house. I'm telling you the amount so you don't think that this is like small, this is a small vibe. We need big money this year to do what we need to do. Practically, how can you give? I want to suggest a few ways. You could give out of your access bond if you're able to do that. Why are you laughing? I'm dead serious. You can give out of your access bond. You can give out of your year-end bonus. You can give out of a tax rebate. You could save each month towards it. You can give from an intentional cutting back and saving, creating some surplus in your budget, and pledge that way. You could give from your business, particularly as we're helping build the community. The Astro Court is a community building thing. You could see if your business would be keen to do that. You could give through an interest-free loan as well. If you want to give, you know, six figures and up, you could say, hey, my business could loan, and we'll do an interest-free loan or loan at a lower interest rate. It's all sorts of creative ways of doing that. But as a community, I want to give you a goal to aim at, personally. The goal is very simple. If every single one of us in Thrive Church across both of our campuses aimed to give 50% of our monthly salary, so 1 month's salary, your gross monthly salary, 50%. If you decided to pledge that between now and the end of May and fulfill that pledge, we would have more than enough to do what we need to do. Just a very simple goal. And I was thinking about those amounts and thinking about, and they stretch, definitely. They're difficult, definitely. But they wouldn't be out of reach. Now, some of you, God has blessed with massive resource. And you can do way more than that. So don't go there and go, oh, Pastor said 50% of salary, but I could actually do hundreds of thousands more than that. No, do what you can, but as a goal, try and think about that. Even as husband and wife, tap your wife or your husband, tap the Holy Spirit sitting next to you right now, and to say to yourself, I think that is a significant investment, but it's also achievable if you really set our minds to it. So between now and May, so that, what's that? You know, 7 months between... the next 7 months to give 50% of 1 month of your salary as a household could be doable. If we did that, if each one of us did that, we could do it. Pastor Ken and I, you know, we always say this. We always want to try and lead the way. And so we always want to be in the top amounts of people that give. This year, Pastor Ken and I are going to be pledging and trusting God to be able to give 120,000 into the vision offering, and we want to be accountable to you. So we're not asking you to do anything that we're not doing. So let's pray, hear, and obey. Let's pray, hear, and obey. Lord, we want right now in these moments, we want to give cheerfully, we want to give joyfully, we want to give sacrificially, we want to give with grace, we want to give with faith, we want to give with hope, we want to give with vision. And I pray that as we bring our offering today, that you would multiply it, that you would bring the cost of things down so the money can go further, that you would fill us, each one of us, with faith, the spiritual gift of faith, to sow and invest in meaningful ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 25, verse 2 says, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from those whose hearts are moved to offer them. I love that because it was a voluntary thing. It was a free will thing. At our church, we always speak openly, honestly about money. You know this, I'm never scammed to talk about money. I'm never scammed to ask you for money. Nobody's ever going to manipulate you for money. We just straight out ask and say, come on. So invest. We don't promise you any blessing. You're not giving in exchange for a miracle. None of that nonsense. We're just literally saying, God, here we are. Check the screen, Exodus 25, verse 2. Tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all those whose hearts are moved. So on your chairs, you've got a little Create Vision Offering brochure. It'll be on the screen so you can have a look at it. And on there is a pledge form. Now, I want to take a few moments and just allow us to look through that. It's got our name and our details and all those sorts of things. You could either give with cash enclosed, put it in an envelope on the chair holders next to you. You could give via EFT transfer. You could give via card payment at the info desk. And you can give via SnapScan. What we're asking is, regardless of the way that you give, fill this out right now. There's chairs in the little holders next to you. I'm going to ask you to fill it out and then tear it off and then put it in an envelope. Or if you don't want to use an envelope, that's fine, and it's just your pledge form. And we're going to come forward in a few moments' time, and we're going to place our offering into the Perspex holders. Balcony have got two Perspex holders at the back as well. We've also got the pledge facility. Many of our church love to pledge, and people pledge so generously. As you pledge, you'll notice pledge details there. So try and give us an indication like of how you're thinking you'll do this. You know, I want to give this amount in month 1, 2, and 3, etc. And make sure that you give as much detail as possible. Very, very importantly, church, please, please, everybody, look at me, particularly Edenvale folks. Please put on your pledge form, Edenvale. We were planning on being in separate campuses for this moment, but we've had to bring everybody together. So it's vital that you put Edenvale on your pledge details. Is that okay? And then the banking details are there as well. So I'm going to give you a few moments to prepare your pledges. We're going to then place them in envelopes if you want to. If you've got cash with you and you're giving, please do put that in an envelope. Put your slip inside of your envelope, and then we're going to come and we're going to bring to the front and balcony at the back. And we're going to bring our offerings. Exodus 25, verse 2, it'll be on the screen again. Tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings and accept the contributions from all those whose hearts are moved. Bringing of an offering is a deeply biblical thing. We always have a theology behind everything we do. That's why bringing, so balcony you're going to bring that side, ground floor you'll bring over here. Bringing is because it's voluntary. Bringing is because it's free will. Bringing is because it's our hearts moved. Nobody's manipulating you. Nobody's coercing you. You can prepare your offering and bring it as you desire to do so. So let's take a moment and pray over it now. Come, as you prepare yours, would you also just pray with me for the offering? Father, there's so much vision. There's so much that you've called us to do as a community. We think of the Next Gen Spaces in Boksburg. We think of the NPO that we want to bless. We think of the building going up in Edenvale. We think of solar power that we have a vision to install here in Boksburg. We think of the freed up cash. We think of what it can do and where it can go and how it can bless and how it can benefit. We think of all of this. And today we pledge. We give, we sow, we invest. We write down, Lord, with intentionality. Give us the faith, we pray, Father, to do what we want to do, to honor you the way you want us to honor you, to love your kingdom the way you call us to love your kingdom. Father, help us to know equal sacrifice, not equal giving. So we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We do these things, Lord, with you, God, not for you. Would you come and move in our hearts? And I pray that every single one of us, as we sow and invest, we'd sense the smile of heaven, the reward and the grace of heaven over our lives in whichever way you want to do, Lord. We just thank you that you know and you see, and we love you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, the team are going to lead us. As you do so, you can continue to get your pledges ready. And then whenever you're ready, just stand to your feet, come to the front as the team sings, and let's bring our offering, and then we'll close the service. Thanks, everybody.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.